Do you have a favourite carol? I'm sure you do. Is it Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Is it Silent Night? Is it While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, sung to the tune of Ilkley Moor Bowtat? Or is it, as it was actually for me, in brought up in an Anglican church in Matlock, it was every carol service, somebody would be up on the balcony singing Once in Royal David City with that beautiful high voice. Well, the carol that we've just sung is one of mine. And that video really spoke into it, didn't it? It was written by a gentleman called Philip Brooks in 1866, a long time ago, following a visit that he made to the Holy Land and to Bethlehem, where he sensed that the town could make a mark on many who had not seen Jesus and yet believed in a God who had come to us as a vulnerable baby, God's son, Jesus. And the words of the third verse that we sang, how silently the wondrous gift is given. God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. Ponder those words. We sing them so often. Ponder them. We'll come back to them. The reading that we heard at the start of the service was one of many passages, as Brian has said, in the Old Testament that speak, that foretell of the coming of the Messiah, a saviour for the people of the world. And it began with those words, "Comfort, O comfort my people." If you want to get your voice across, your message across to somebody, parent to a child, maybe, you often say it twice. And so that's what we see here, comfort. Comfort my people. And this was said 750 years before Jesus came. And it was addressed to the people of God, those who God had nurtured, cared for, and at this time had disobeyed him. So they weren't following God's will. They weren't doing as they should do. And as a consequence, the armies around them, the armies of Babylon, overcame where the people were in Jerusalem, in their land, and took them into exile, took them away. For 70 years, a full generation were taken away into this place of Babylon. And in that place of exile, they had no sense of comfort. Comfort was lacking. In another book of the Old Testament, Lamentations, we hear words speaking of this lack of comfort. She weeps bitterly in the night, this is describing the people, with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. Her downfall was appalling, with none to comfort her. They heard how I was groaning, with no one to comfort her. The consequences of their rebellion meant they did not experience, did not sense comfort. Comfort is a sense that we can all relate to. We seek and we need comfort in our lives. The comfort of a mother for her newborn child. Our need for comfort from pain or when we're in distress. Comfort at a time of loss of a loved one. We need to be comforted at these times and many other times. It's a human need. And we are affected when that comfort is lacking. We know it personally, don't we? We know it in our family, in our community, amongst our friends. And we know the sadness and pain that we see in the lives of others. And it touches us. It can hurt us because we can connect with it because of our story. We understand the need for comfort. And then we have the wider picture of the need for comfort in the world that we see so many times on the news, on social media, and currently, thousands and thousands of people displaced from their homes as a result of war and conflict, forced to flee, insecure, vulnerable. Little comfort for them and their families as they're separated, dispersed, many grieving over the loss of a child or a parent. And it's awful to know that these things are happening somewhere in the world, pretty much every day. We have witnessed those scenes. And there is something that happens at this time of the year. The scenes, really, the images that we receive, the images that are captured for us, are by some of the press photographers. And their photography is quite remarkable at times and captures very personal and very precious moments. I'm just going to show you two or three images that kind of speak of some of the desperate need for comfort in the world. Just fleetingly put these on the screen. This is in Ukraine on the 24th of February 22, when Russian forces invaded Ukraine. They immediately targeted the city of Mariupol. And in doing so, in devastating the city, they also attacked a maternity hospital. And this is a lady called Iryana, age 32, heavily pregnant, being taken away from the place of safety as she was about to give birth. And the comfort that is needed is for individuals, but it's also for communities. This extraordinary scene is in Peru, an environmental disaster caused by an oil spill. In January, and nearly 12,000 barrels of crude oil were spilled, and they affected the livelihoods of many, many people in that area. And then finally, this young man, Sebastian, aged 18, baths with the help of his father, Tino, in Mexico. Sebastian lives with an illness called hydrocephalus, a neurological disorder caused by a buildup of fluids in cavities within his brain, and he depends on his parents' most daily activities. But the cause of his illness is to do with agrochemicals that are used and sold to countries like Mexico, and they impact the neighborhood, they impact people's lives. And that has transformed and changed Sebastian's life, now and for his future. So what is this comfort that Isaiah speaks of? Comfort, O comfort my people. There is so much need for comfort in the lives of people around the world. What is the comfort that Isaiah speaks of? Well, the message goes on to say this, and this is where the word comfort starts to make sense. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low, and uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Prepare the way for the Lord. The message is that God is coming. His glory will be revealed. God knows the plight of his people. He won't abandon them in exile, and he hasn't abandoned us. He sees their pain and ours. He knows their weakness and ours. He knows that neither they nor we can satisfy their need. Only God can do it. God must come. His glory revealed. It isn't a message that was fulfilled in their lifetime in exile. It is the promise that one day God will come. For God's people in exile, it's a message of hope to come. But for us, it's a message of hope for today. A message of life for all people of the world. The words are referred to, these words of prepare the way are referred to by John the Baptist. As we read the beginning of the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus, we see these words and hear these words. So John the Baptist comes and he baptizes in the River Jordan, and Jesus comes. But what he says is, prepare the way for the Lord. That's why he's there. That's what he is doing. The time has come. The time is being fulfilled. And when John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the glory of God revealed. This is the good news of Christmas. God promised that he would come to us, and he has come in the person of Jesus. God with us in human form, one like us among us. As Brian referred to earlier, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, meaning simply this, that God has come as a man into the world, into the neighborhood, into the streets, into the dirt and the mire and the reality of the world, the reality of the pain that we saw in those images. That's where God is. The word we use is incarnate. God has become incarnate with us, alongside us, empathizing with us. And God came quietly and humbly in Jesus, in the same vulnerable state that all of us are born into in the world, a baby dependent upon mother and father, born in a stable in the small town of Bethlehem, which is what is now known as the West Bank in Palestine. He grew up to be a man like us and yet spoke the most profound words that anyone has ever spoken, that transformed the lives of those who heard him and the lives of those who have come to know him. Through the record that we have in the Bible, the gospel accounts, the eyewitness accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he healed and he heals today. He restored lives and he restores lives today. He forgives and he forgives today. If you'd like to know more about the life of Jesus, there are a number of things Brian's going to refer to, but there are two different versions of these eyewitness accounts, one by Luke and one by Mark, and there's some copies like this in the foyer. And they are the gospel accounts. And if you would like to take one, if you haven't got a Bible at home, then do make yourselves available to one after the service. Read the life of Jesus. Get to understand Jesus as the man and Jesus as God. Just come back to those opening words again, to the words of comfort, because there are a couple of other things to mention in them. What he says here is that he says, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem." And then he goes on to explain how sin has been paid for. The penalty is paid is the words used. God speaks tenderly. He's gentle in spirit. He speaks tenderly because of his love for us. He doesn't barge into our lives. He is that still, small voice that calls out to us and calls to our hearts that we might respond to his love. And that expression of sins forgiven, God is aware of our weaknesses, our sin, our willfulness, going our own way, doing the wrong things that hurt others and in the end hurt us. And yet despite our rejection, God's love is so great that he forgives us as we turn to him. And it's all been made possible because of Jesus. The comfort that God offers us isn't a promise that there will be no more suffering or pain in this life for ourselves or for others. It isn't a promise that we will not have difficulties in the world, loss of a job, failure in relationships, and it isn't a promise that we won't experience the loss of loved ones. The comfort that God offers is hope for our lives now in Jesus, the one who came from God into the world. Peace into our hearts through his forgiveness, a burden lifted, the stirring in our heart, the warmth in our heart of assurance of God's love for us. The presence of the Holy Spirit, secondly, God brings his Spirit to dwell in us, to live in us. We know the life of God in us by the Spirit that he brings to us. And we have something certain about the future. The future beyond death, where we will be with God forever. All of this is available to us. All of this is what Christmas speaks about. God has acted out of his love and compassion for us. And it's for all people. There was another promise given hundreds of years before that all nations, all families, everywhere, whatever their age, gender, ethnicity, gender identity, sexual orientation, physical and mental ability, neurodiversity, education, classes, economic status, or political outlook. I think that's all. I think that's everyone. Those words might sound familiar to you. They're words that are on our church website. They're words that we stand by. Available to all. And as God comforts us in our need, he calls us and enables us to comfort others, those who are suffering, to become peacemakers and to carry this light and this joy and this life that God offers to us. So as you sing the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, again over this Christmas, remember that God invites you to take to heart these words. How silently the wondrous gift is given. God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in.